We live in a time where the word commandment is not too popular. When a person is commanded to do something, even if that command is coming from the police, people usually don't respond very well. In fact, a person may say to us, if you want me to do something, if you want to incentivize me, if you want to motivate me, if you want me to get what you want done, why don't you ask politely? When we think about the Ten Commandments, when we talk about commandments from God, whether they are 10 or 100, again, people cringe sometimes at those ideas that God has commandments, that he would actually list certain ones. Some people don't look at that very favorably. Sometimes it's said by people that when we look at the Ten Commandments, they're out of date. And you would even find, if you do some looking at this, that people would say, we have come up with our own Ten Commandments. God may have had his in the past, but these are no longer relevant, they're no longer current. And people have actually come up with a list of their top 10 commandments. And I'll share just a few of those with you. One of the top ones is, I will steal from those who won't miss it. That's how about 70% of the people reason in a survey that was conducted. Another says, I will lie when it suits me, so long as it doesn't cause any real damage. I will drink and drive if I feel like it, as long as I know I can handle it because I know my limit. I will procrastinate at work and do absolutely nothing about one full day in every five. I will use recreational drugs. And then finally, I will cheat on my taxes to a point. I found, and I think you probably found this as well, that people will sometimes talk tough when there's nobody in authority or nobody who has power that may be an immediate threat to them. And that's sometimes what they do when it comes to the idea of keeping God's commandments. A week ago, if you were here on Sunday evening, we studied some of the details about God and his appearance on the mountain when it was time to give the Ten Commandments to the people. If the people of Israel thought, well, God's going to show up and we're going to have this meeting and he's going to give some information to us, if they thought that was not going to be any big deal, they soon changed their mind. The smoke, the lightning, the thunder, it shook the people up. Men now can claim that God's laws are old, that they are out of date, that they are unnecessary, and that they follow their own rules. But you know, when men finally come to have an encounter with God, and all people will one day, they will find that they are a little bit like the people in Matthew chapter 28. Now, you may not want to turn there, but I'll refresh your memories, something that happened in that chapter. Matthew says there was an angel, one angel. An angel descends from heaven, and this angel rolls away the stone, the rock from Jesus' tomb. There were some guards there. And the text tells us that the guards of the tomb, upon seeing that angel, seeing just one angel, they were so frightened, so terrified, that they either fainted or they entered into a state which was something like being paralyzed. Now think about that. One angel, these guards, people trained in perhaps military tactics. One angel terrified these guys to the point where they were completely immobilized. If that's the effect that one angel can have on people, what about encountering God? God gave the Ten Commandments, and he wanted to impress on his people that this was a very serious matter. Over the next several Sunday nights, today and then, of course, beginning 2 weeks from this afternoon, we want to look at the Ten Commandments. I do want to spend a lesson or two looking at some introductory, some preliminary materials. For example, when we think about the Ten Commandments, were these commandments new? Did the Ten Commandments in some sense exist prior to Exodus chapter 20? And we need to explore who they were given to and why they were given. You may or may not know that when the Ten Commandments were given, Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, these commandments, for the most part, were not exactly new. In fact, if you take the list of the Ten Commandments and you go back into the book of Genesis, you can actually find places in Genesis where 9 of the commandments were violated. Now, I'm not going to do this for all 9 of the commandments, but I will highlight about half of the times where you can find this. For example, you may recall that as you think about the Ten Commandments, one of God's commandments was, thou shalt not kill. And the idea there, more precisely, is thou shalt not murder. When you think of the book of Genesis, is there any place in Genesis where you have a murder? Well, sure. You don't have to go very far into the book. You come to Genesis chapter 4, and what happens? You find there that Cain has a brother by the name of Abel. And what does Cain do to Abel? Well, the text says in Genesis chapter 4 that Cain killed Abel. Now, question. Was Cain punished for the murder? Yes. Was murder wrong? Yes. Were the Ten Commandments in effect at that time? No. So here you have one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. And even though the commandments haven't been given, in Genesis chapter 4, murder is still wrong. Here's another example. Do you remember from the Ten Commandments how there is that point about mom and dad? Honor father and mother so that it may be well with you, that you can have long days. If you take that and you go back to a fellow by the name of Genesis, do you remember how one of Noah's sons, a guy by the name of Ham, didn't honor dad? There is a story in Genesis chapter 9, verses 21 through 25. Noah, of course, became involved with grapes, and he planted a vineyard. He became someone who was apparently fairly adept at that. He is intoxicated, and Ham does something that dishonors his father. There are different ideas about what that was. Tonight's not the night to look at that information, but maybe it was just that he found his father in a bad way, and he either didn't do anything that would help dignify the situation, maybe mocked his dad, and it was so bad that Noah uttered a curse on Ham's son. That would be Canaan. So he failed to honor his dad. Now again, the Ten Commandments were not enforced at that time, but still you have what turns out to be a violation of them before the commandments were given. When you think about the Ten Commandments, we also find that there is a prohibition against adultery. God said to his people, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." When you go back into the book of Genesis, do you find anything that could somehow be related to that commandment? What about Joseph and Potiphar's wife? She was married. Joseph being involved with Potiphar's wife would have been an example of adultery. And Joseph knew long before the Ten Commandments were ever given that that was wrong. And then from the 20th chapter in Genesis, you find this king by the name of Abimelech. And what's he do? He finds Abraham's wife, Sarah. He finds that in his eyes, she is a very attractive woman, and he wants her. And God shows up in a dream and tells him, "You have a woman, and she's not someone that you can lawfully be with." We will also, as we look at Exodus chapter 20, remember that commandment about stealing. God said, "Thou shalt not steal." Well, where do we find that? Hinted at in the book of Genesis. Remember Adam and Eve? You remember what got them in trouble? Do we recall how they ate the forbidden fruit? They took what God said was off limits. Even if we could argue that Adam and Eve could have touched the fruit, and there's some discussion about that, but if even they were allowed to touch the fruit, and even if they were allowed to, if it was pluckable, even if they plucked the fruit and then held it, even if those two things were permissible, they still had no right to eat the fruit. God said, "This is mine. This is off limits for you. Don't eat the fruit." And yet there's a sense in which they could said to be have stolen it. When we think about the Ten Commandments, God said, "Thou shalt not covet." Well, when we think about that commandment, let's again go back to the book of Genesis. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. What do we find happening with Adam and Eve? The Bible says Adam and Eve, they saw the fruit. They saw that it was good to look at. They saw that it was attractive, and they wanted it. The text says it was a delight to the eyes. What's that describing? It's a way of describing covetousness. Once again, that sin, which is laid out so clearly in Exodus chapter 20, you find an example of it long before Exodus 20 comes along. So in the book of Genesis, if you take the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy 5, you can find at least 9 of those commandments in some sense being violated before the book of Exodus and the events in it ever come along. The one exception, the one violation that we don't find in the book of Genesis is the Sabbath day. And that's important for a couple of reasons. When we think about our world, we know that it's set up for a 7-day week. You can talk to people from any culture that I'm aware of, and they will say 7 days are in the week that we have, and we would say yes, 7 days are in the week that we have as well. In giving the Ten Commandments, God took a day, the seventh day, the day that we refer to as Saturday, and he set it up for a day of rest. And there is a verse in the Old Testament, which if you're a Christian and you ever have a discussion with someone about the Sabbath, it's a verse that you need to know. I mean, this is just something that should be stamped in your mind, because when the Sabbath question comes up, it's a key verse. It's in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah has more than 9 chapters, but this is almost to the end of the book. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 14, if you want to back up, you can also give verse 13 as a little bit of the context. But Nehemiah 9, here's what it said in verse 13 and then also in verse 14. "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai." Well, again, we looked at that last week. God makes this great appearance. Nehemiah said, "You came down to Mount Sinai and speaketh with them from heaven, and gavest them right ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments." Well, of course, we have that in Exodus 20. Those would be the Ten Commandments. And then verse 14, "And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath." The Sabbath was instituted at Sinai. That's when it came to being. And then he goes on to say, "A law by Moses, the servants of the prophets, And he's telling the people this did not exist prior to this time. It came to the people at Sinai. When you look at the 9 of the 10 commandments that I alluded to earlier, everything except the Sabbath, 9 of the 10 commandments are what might be referred to as timeless truths. In other words, murder, thou shalt not murder, that has always been wrong. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. From the very beginning to the end of time, those things will always be wrong. Had we lived before the time of Moses, those would have all been sins. Had we lived as a Jew under the law of Moses, those would have been sins. Had we lived during the time of Moses but been a non-Jew, those would have been sins. If we are living under the Christian dispensation, a Christian or not, those things are still sins. 9 of the 10 commandments apply to people regardless of when they lived in human history and regardless of who they were. Now, if you can get that fact in your mind, if you can wrap your head around that, then if you were to turn over to passages like Romans chapter 13 and verse 9, and you see some information which sounds like it's just reciting Old Testament material, you can understand why people like Paul said what they did. In Romans 13, 9, he said, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet." So Paul goes through these, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Why does he do that? He was not trying, as some have alleged, to repeat the Ten Commandments. He knew better than that. Paul understood that 9 of the Ten Commandments have always been true, that these are timeless truths with God. But the command to keep the Sabbath, Nehemiah 9, 13 and 14, that was made known at Sinai. It was for a specific people and for a specific period of time. Now, sometimes people get a little confused when it comes to the Ten Commandments. They're confused on who they were given to. They were confused about the purpose. And they were also confused about how long they were supposed to last. As I've mentioned a few times, there are two places in the Old Testament where we find the Ten Commandments listed. One's Exodus 20. But there's another place where they're listed. And the second place, Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting with verse 1 and going throughout the chapter, you have some preliminary information before you get to the commandments. And I want to read those first four verses in Deuteronomy chapter 5. We are here told that the commandments were specifically for the Jews and that before the Jews came along, these commandments, as far as we have them now, they didn't exist. They existed in principle, but not in another form. And Moses called all Israel together. And he said unto them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and observe to do them. Jehovah our God made a covenant with us at Horeb or Sinai." And that's where we are in Exodus. Jehovah, listen to these words. "He made not this covenant with our fathers." The Ten Commandments, they didn't exist as we have them now in the Old Testament. Timeless truths, yes, but not the commandments as we have them now. "But with us, even us, who are all of us here and alive this day. Jehovah spake with you face to face in the mount," that is, in the midst of fire. And then he goes on to say a few things more. The Ten Commandments, Moses said, were for the Jews. They weren't for Abraham. They weren't for Joseph. There were timeless truths applied, but not the Ten Commandments in the form of Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, moving to the New Testament, you may remember that there was an incident one day in Jesus' life. There is this fellow of Jewish descent who comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, and he says, "Good teacher, I want to know what I must do to have eternal life. Jesus, tell me what I must do." Well, the Lord said, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16, 17, 18, and 19, "You need to keep the commandments." And then Jesus went on to list some of those commandments. "Thou shalt," and he goes through the list, at least part of the list. The Lord lived under the Old Testament, and he taught that people needed to obey the Ten Commandments if they were Jews, and that was exactly right. But then you may remember that as things move forward in the New Testament with Jesus, the Lord comes to a time, not long before he goes to the cross, time for the so-called last meal, the Last Supper, the Passover meal with the disciples. And just before Jesus is arrested, he says in Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, he says a new testament, a new covenant is coming. And Jesus said this new testament, this new agreement, it's going to be brought about. The basis for it is going to be my blood. It's going to be written in my blood. Now, those Ten Commandments, obviously, because they're in Exodus and Deuteronomy, they were part of the Old Testament. We call that Old Testament old because it's no longer the testament, the covenant, the agreement that we live under. We now have a New Testament. And in the New Testament, we do not have the Ten Commandments. We still avoid 9 of the things that are listed in Exodus 20 and 9 of the things that are listed in Deuteronomy chapter 5 because those are timeless truths. As we said, murder has always been wrong. Covetousness, theft, adultery, all those things have always been wrong for all people. But the Sabbath day, that is not a timeless truth. That was made known at Sinai, Nehemiah 9, Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we're no longer under that today. In fact, rather than pay attention to the seventh day of the week, with that New Testament, there's also been a change in the special day. It used to be the seventh day. But now God says with this New Testament that's come into being, it's now the first day of the week. Jesus, Mark 16, was raised on the first day of the week. Christians met on the first day of the week. John talked about being in the Lord's day when he started the book of Revelation. It's the first day of the week to represent the new agreement. Now, someone may hear this and they say, well, all this makes sense. But they say, for me, I like to keep things simple. And I still have an interest in God. So because of my interest in God, because I like to make things simple, I'm going to go back. And even though I understand all that stuff, I still want to keep the Ten Commandments. This is going to be the pattern. This is going to be the basic way that I live my life. And I expect God to be pleased with me. When you hear someone, when it comes to a spiritual discussion, and they say, well, I know what you're saying. I know what the Bible says, but that's a problem. Anytime God says something and men come along and say, but, that's a problem. And that's exactly sometimes what we find here. Listen to what God says. And these verses are incredibly strong. Listen to what God says when it comes to living under the New Testament, which was instituted by the blood of Jesus Christ, but wanting to go back and abide by the Ten Commandments and make that really our pattern for salvation. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, Paul said, if righteousness, salvation, justification, if being right can come through the law, going back to the Ten Commandments, he said the death of Jesus Christ was pointless. That's pretty powerful. If we can please God by following the Ten Commandments, there was no purpose at all for Jesus coming and dying on the cross. That's what's true for someone who says, well, I follow the Ten Commandments. Paul's even a little bolder. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He said, if you want to follow the Ten Commandments, you have on spiritual blinders. It's like you're having a bag over your head. You're spiritually blind. You're spiritually ignorant. You are spiritually unenlightened. Upon hearing this, someone might say, well, it sounds like you believe in destroying the Ten Commandments. Well, Jesus dealt with this accusation a long time ago. And again, we're familiar with the reference. You may remember how. Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus isn't far into the sermon, and he said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I didn't come to attack, to tear down, to nullify the Ten Commandments. The end of the verse says, I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus told people, look, understand that the Ten Commandments had a specific purpose. The Ten Commandments were for a specific people, the Jews. And the Ten Commandments were for a specific amount of time, a limited amount of time. That is, until the New Testament was going to come. They were going to serve their purpose. Paul described it this way, Galatians 3 and verse 24. He said the Old Testament system, those Ten Commandments, he said they were tutor. They were designed to bring us forward, bring us to the time where Jesus would come into the world. And once Jesus came, he fulfilled their purpose. He was able to replace them with the New Testament, with the New Covenant. And now when it comes to Moses' law, it is time to stand down. Lay it down. Realize what it did. Appreciate what it did. But now it's time to say that is Old Testament material. We can learn from this stuff. There are timeless truths there. But Paul wanted, he preached this zealously. We've got to realize that Christ has come. He has given us a new system. Ten commandments are gone. Nine of the commandments are timeless truths. They're still with us from that standpoint. But the Sabbath has certainly been taken out of the way. Again, I hope to look at this in a little more detail in a couple weeks. But for now, we need to realize that we are under a different law. And not only are we under a different law, the Bible says it's a better law. The perfect law of liberty is how James described it as he wrote that short book. We've been given the best system in the world. And how strange, how odd, that there are people who say, well, we want to go back to those Ten Commandments. Nothing wrong to have them on the wall. Nothing wrong with being able to recite them. But do realize and bear in mind that this is one of the things that we can communicate to people. The law that we are under now is no longer summarized by the Ten Commandments. Are we following that New Testament system? We know the conditions. We've given them many times. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism, and then faithful allegiance to the Christ, the Son of God, who's given us the New Testament written in his blood. We hope so. If we're struggling to live under that system as a Christian, this morning or this afternoon, we'd like to offer assistance in the way that you need it. If you've not yet become a Christian, that New Testament says to you, the door is wide open spiritually. You can have all your sins forgiven, come into Christ where all spiritual blessings are, and have fellowship with him throughout this life and into eternity. The New Testament is there. Have we taken advantage of it? Those are the questions that we're asking you to consider and answer as we stand and sing the selected song.